Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Arias swings and he slices one toward right center field. Lucas is on the move. He reaches out and it's over his glove and off the wall. Low scores from second. Abreu on his heels. And it's a two-run double for Carlos Narvaez.
Oh, my God, bro. Awesome. I mean, we needed this game, especially the first one of the series. You know, we got every game is very important for us. So, big statement for us, like, taking this game.
I'd now like to turn it over to His Excellency
Carlos Narvaez.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
How you like them apples, Dan Ball? The Red Sox will not be going 0-6 in this season-deciding six-game stretch. They got the win last night, 4-1. It started off a little shaky. I was a little in Dan Ball worried land. Lucas Giolito did not have his best stuff. I'm not sure we're going to see Lucas Giolito with his best stuff again this season, but it was good enough to get the win. You had the fun back end of everything. The back end of the lineup, Nathaniel Lowe. Nope, I'm not calling him Lowe Vaughn. We're not doing that here on WEEI Afternoons.
Who the hell calls him Lowe Vaughn?
That's the thing. You haven't Nesson put it out like that's what they're calling him behind the scenes. He's Lowe Vaughn.
Lowe Vaughn. Oh, my God. By the way, in rewatching the highlights of last night's game, which was, you could call it a thriller. I choose to call it a white knuckler because that was, even though it was a three-run win, that was a hang-on and treat it like a playoff type of game.
Oh, hell no. Once you were up 4-1 and you get to Whitlock and Chapman, it's over with an AH, yeah. As you would say, Fitzy.
Yeah,
over.
And the stats, and I know the stats back it up, but I got to say, in rewatching those highlights, seeing Nathaniel Lowe amble over in the ninth inning, I believe it was, to catch a pop foul to make the second out, I just sort of looked at it. I was like, man, that guy's got such an only baseball body. He 100% is such a baseball player, not an athlete.
So Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Dan Ball's mom all think that Nathaniel Lowe Vaughn, looks interesting, right? When you first set eyes on him, and I can't really decide if it's the physique, if it's the way he wears his hat. He wears his hat kind of high on his head. He's got the mustache. There's just a lot going on there. He almost looks like, I don't know, he'd fit in the 70s or 80s on an old Topps baseball card.
That
or
mustache is like kind of haggard, but vintage ball player-y.
Yeah.
Like he could be a foreman on a construction site. Like if he told you, like in a past life, I feel like I was a dock worker. Yep, 100%.
Absolutely. Or if he just told me he's an actor who's trying to look like a baseball player, and this is what he came up with his buddies. I don't know, but I'll tell you this. Narvaez, 2 RBI. Lowe, 2 RBI. That's 4 runs. Mm-hmm. That's your ball game. And it feels like the angst that a lot of people had, there was a breath. Okay, because in part, some other results went your way. Thank you, mm-hmm. A's. And I hate to bring this to the air. It's a weird take because I'm sure you saw the incident between Tarek Skubal and Fry.
That was awful. The poor guy now has facial fractures.
Awful. And the reaction from Skubal was perfect. Perfect. It's the way I would want my son to react if something went like that on a pitcher's mound. But I'll also say this. Sometimes pitchers aren't the same after incidents like that.
No.
Sometimes it shakes their ability to go back and throw 100 and worry, am I going to hit another guy in the face if I throw 100 over here? So there's a lot of little tidbits that are falling the Red Sox way, but none more important than you getting the W last night in Toronto against a Blue Jays team that scuffling a little bit. We already saw
the flip in the AL Central in the standings. Don't give up the idea there could be a flip in the AL East. The Yankees could still catch the Blue Jays. There is a hell of a lot going on in baseball right now.
Yeah, where would you rather go? Since it looks like the Red Sox may be locking down or are making progress with a magic number of 1, 2, 3 for the remainder of the season. Would you rather, obviously you'd rather they play at Fenway because they have a much better home record this year and Fenway has been a vibe. But would you rather they go, Andy, to New York to play the Yankees? Would you rather they go back to Skydome, or excuse me, I'm sorry, I still call it Skydome, Rogers Center to take on the Jays? Or would you rather they somehow magically end up as the third wild card and have to take on likely the AL Central winner? Would you rather they go to, I still call it the Jake?
I think right now, and this could be recency bias, I'd rather go to Toronto. I know
it's not that impressive of a team. I don't know. No. Cora loves them. Like, I'd look at that team like, you guys have 90-something wins?
Yeah, they and they have obviously faded. They were hot, and they have faded. But I think if you gave me my choice, I would probably want to go to Toronto. The obvious answer for a theatrical presentation is the Yankees.
Yes.
You know, Yankee Stadium, Red Sox, Yankees, the playoffs, the whole thing, Judge, all of it. But I think I would pick if I'm looking to advance. And that's what I'm looking for now. No longer. We talked about it late yesterday, but that was when we were all a little shook heading into these six games. Mm-hmm. No longer is it just make the playoffs. Now I'm getting greedy, to steal the manager's words. And by the way, the manager, Alex Cora, will join us about 25 minutes from now, 2:30 here on WEEI Afternoons. We'll talk to AC as things heat up for Red Sox Nation and the Red Sox get that win. He manages the bullpen like, I don't know, the playoffs are already here. He said we can't talk about October, but feels like it's already here. Feels like we're already in October
land. Feel like a playoff? The way he managed that game, that'll be my second question to him. My first question will be, how big a sigh of relief did you breathe in the second inning when that ball was ripped by Springer down the line? And to me, it looked like it was fair, but luckily they got the foul call.
Yep.
And then that was non-reviewable. And then the changeup that was maybe about 6 inches off the plate that was called strike three for Giolito. Like, things finally broke the Red Sox way for a change, Andy, after it feels like they hadn't for a few weeks.
Yeah, that validated my theory that all umps, referees, and officials kind of stink. But sometimes they stink for you, and sometimes you benefit from the stink. And that was a situation that you may not get a year from now because somebody would have tapped on their head there and said, hey, let's go to the ABS and see what the comps, the computers, the robots say about
that.
Hold on
1 second. Let me check chat MLB. That was fair. Okay, thanks.
So what was the best part of last night's win for you? What was the feel-good moment or breath of fresh air, whatever you want to call it, moment or aspect of last night's 4-1 win that has you feeling better about the Boston Red Sox, Fitzy?
Justin Wilson getting that out at the bottom of the fifth inning. Justin Wilson, who looks like he looks like every time he takes the mound, it's like, is that John Lester's stunt double just with a little facial hair? Like, looks the like almost has the same composition and build, comes out there and then has a walk, and it's like, oh no, this is how this is going to go. The bullpen's going to blow it. Giolito can't find it. God, we are going to be just sweating this one out all the way to Sunday. And then he gets that important fifth out and preserves the 4-1 lead. And then you think, okay, now I'm one step closer. I'm one inning closer to getting to the lockdown, which is obviously Whitlock in 8 and Chapman in the 9th. That was a huge, huge, huge out to get last night.
Yeah, 4 1/3 no-hit innings from the bullpen, which I think you probably have come to expect from the combo of Whitlock and Chapman. Mm-hmm. Although Chapman, I will say, I know everybody points to whatever that was a little over a week ago where the perfection kind of came to an end. He not only gave up hits, gave up runs, and he seems to have longer at-bats and innings now than he was having previously. I don't know if that's fatigue or normal, but even last night there was an at-bat there that started to go 9, 10, mm-hmm. 11 pitches, I think.
He sweats an awful lot. I got to be. I know that's just sort of like his
manner of being.
Nothing, but like he makes me sweat watching him even when he's throwing 100 because the guy sweats so damn much. That being said, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a little fatigued.
I think everybody is. Honestly, at this point in the season, unless you had the ability to really manage things, they're not in management mode right now. They're trying to manage their way into the postseason. Dan Ball, yes.
To your point about Chapman, too, he's had 7 outings this year where he's thrown at least 20 pitches, and 4 of them have come since August 27th. So this is becoming a trend.
It's becoming. I mean, if we want to dig deep, there's a lot of those trends I don't like about the pitching staff in particular. The lineup is what the lineup is. If anything, the lineup might be turning a corner in a more positive direction. I feel a little bit better about Bregman than I have in recent weeks. Abreu, maybe he'll get his timing down and be a contributor for this lineup. Oh my God, Yoshida? Is he actually contributing to the Boston Red Sox? Good. Yes, Dan Ball again.
327 in 56 plate appearances in the month of September for Masataka Yoshida, whom Andy owes an apology.
So you just got so excited. Fitzy, you should have seen Dan Ball's face when I said, is even Yoshida contributing? And Dan Ball just lit up with this big smile raised. He's like, I gotta tell something.
I just read it like 10 minutes ago. Sorry, that's on me.
But that's great. We talk about it all the time. Like, if you can extend this lineup a little bit and add a couple guys sprinkled throughout that you know, you got Bregman and you got Story. Story's defense is a little bit lacking lately.
Hell of a jump throw late in the game when they needed it, though.
Yeah, how come he makes the jump throw but not the regular throw early in the game? His throw.
How come he can't
erratic.
Hold on to a freaking relay over at second? Drop the damn ball.
No, Fitzy took a turn there. I brought up negative, and he goes all, "Did you see that jump throw?" And then he's like, "Maybe he'll hold on to the damn ball." Yeah, there's a lot going on with Trevor Story defensively.
There is.
Not
there
all
is
of it
a lot
good.
Going on with Story. No, it's not like
fatigue.
But that's the crazy part, is like the routine is now difficult and the difficult looks routine.
It's been like 5 years since he played this many games, literally. Like, I'm not exaggerating. And Alex Cora's talked to us about that, you know, he's going to play all these number of games and that's great. Maybe it's starting to wear on him. Maybe it's wearing on Chapman. But the reality is everybody's going through it for the most part, right? There's a lot of teams that need to win baseball games right now. They're not in the position in the final week to just, we clinched and we're just going to figure out our rotation for the playoffs and we're just going to rest this guy and rest. Like, there's a lot of guys, teams battling for position and playoffs and what they need. So if you're fatigued, hit the cold tub, get an energy drink, do whatever the hell you, pickle juice or whatever the various options you have to get yourself grinding right. But I thought that was a really fun win. Again, it started out concerning. I think Dan Ball, is it fair to say early in that game you were leaning into your negative thoughts? They were emboldening your negative thoughts?
Yeah, I would say, just with the situation with Springer that Fitzy was talking about and the inconsistency of Giolito and the walks from Giolito.
He just walks guys now. It's the reality. That is who he is now.
He's been trying to nibble a lot recently because the fastball velocity is down. So you can tell that he's really trying to get to the corners.
Ball don't lie. That's exactly what it is. With his fastball down about 2 miles per hour, he's trying to win a bit more with finesse. And while he got the call against Springer, he's not always going to get the call. I've never really thought of him as much as a finesse pitcher. So you're now get ready for, at best, probably in the postseason, like, you know, a five inning, two run affair from Giolito would be like manna from heaven, would be an early Christmas gift. Like, that's probably the best you could ask for. And then you have to hope that the bullpen between Slayton and Wilson and Tolley. Yeah. And we may have to have a conversation about our guy Tolley in a minute. I think he's a little fatigued too, even though he just got here. That's what you're going to have to look forward to, Andy.
But, Andy, after the first couple innings where things were very much teetering, and I sent this to you last night because, of course, you were the first one on my phone after they won the game and could no longer go 0-6. Andy is consistent on and off air.
0-6 was officially eliminated as a possibility.
It was, and I responded back to you with something I genuinely felt, which was it was one of the
GF yourself.
Yeah, that's right. That was in my own head. But it was one of the more complete victories against a legitimate team that I feel like we've seen in weeks. You got the middle of the order contributing and the reason that you won on offense, and to your point, Fitz, you had the middle relievers delivering like you saw during the middle of the season when they were at their best. So I was more confident about the Red Sox team I saw yesterday than I have been in weeks right now.
And we needed that because we talked about it the other day. There was some base running miscues. You know, defense, you're starting to wonder, is defense going to let you down at some point in a key position as the margins narrow a little bit here for this baseball team? And that was a good playoff effort. Also, it sent a signal. Now, I know, Dan Ball, you've been big on, it's not the starts of series that we have to worry about, it's the latter parts of series that you have to worry about. But it also sent a signal that they weren't going to freak out. Because everybody in the world, I think Adam Jones was calling it Hell Week or something for the Red Sox, these six games. Like, and they didn't freak out. Did they look like a baseball team of, I mean, if we're going to be honest, and you look at sort of the lineup and the way they're sort of haphazardly put together. Young guys, a guy that got DFA'd, a guy that's been struggling. Like, it's kind of a haphazard lineup and construction here. Did they look like they were going to freak out with their season on the line? Because I didn't see freak out. Giolito's scuffling, but he's not freaking out. I just think he's scuffling. He's like, yeah, my fastball doesn't do what it used to do like 2 months ago, so I got to be a little different pitcher here. There was no freak out last night, Fitzy.
No, there was not. And I'll tell you one thing you could probably, I won't say with you know, you can't definitively bank on this.
There's was that a certainty. Duh?
I'm just sort of thinking about how I want to posture or phrase this. But
no, don't think, just speak. That's what I do. It works well.
It's great. Yeah, I already saw people on Twitter suggesting that you be suspended for a day for yesterday's 3-point stance.
They overreact.
It's fun. It's social media. What harm has it ever caused? Anywho, you know, I think there could be, Andy. Now, you got a hit last night, so he's only been back a couple of games, but wouldn't a, you know, hey, he's been on the shelf for a month, he's gotten a little rest, like a sneaky Willier Abreu hot streak? Because we know how streaky he is. Like,
yes.
Once he hits a home run, he hits them in bunches. If they get him going by week's end, get into the playoffs, while it does seem like a slap dink, sort of like quadruple A lineup at times, you may also have somebody catch fire at the right time. You got to hold out hope for these little things, because by and large, the assessment that we all carry for this team is correct. It's not a potent lineup that's going to put a lot of fear in the hearts of many opponents.
No, but you know what it has the potential to be in the next 5 days and then into the postseason? A really
gutty and heartwarming.
Just likable. Just a team where we're going to fall in love with somebody. I mean, if you look at the lineup, there's possibilities for likability from, I guess, if you still go in that direction, Yoshida. Dan Ball still wants to like Yoshida and wants him to validate his existence.
I just wanted you to validate his existence. I don't really care.
Yeah, we'll see. He's got to do more than what he's doing right now for me to dive into. I was wrong. You help win games. I'm glad you stuck around. I'm glad we didn't obliterate you from the universe. That kind of thing. Romy Gonzalez is certainly a guy that's not a tentpole player. Like, if that guy gets hot, obviously Nathaniel Lowe, who I just like the story that did you guys hear the story last week in Tampa when obviously they played his twin brother, that he used to go by Nate Lowe, but then his mom got mad. She's like, I don't really like that. I named you Nathaniel. I'd like you to go by Nathaniel. So he had to do one of those things through the, you know, PR, wherever he was at the time. Like, oh, by the way, everybody, my name's actually Nathaniel. My mom would like, and his brother doesn't have to go by his full name. And Nathaniel Lowe was like, yeah, he's always been the favorite. He can do whatever the hell he wants, and mom doesn't care.
And you can't take your eyes off Nathaniel Lowe!
But Willier Abreu is a guy that, you know, coming off that long extended off stretch, Eaton, Ref Snyder, Narvaez, like, they got all these guys that could have one-off plays, clutch hits, right? Clutch defensive plays. And all of a sudden, like, if you have a playoff game last night, let's just say, let's dream scenario for me. Game one of the playoffs, Crochet just deals. 7 scoreless innings, 11 Ks, hands it to Whitlock and Chapman, game over. And then in game two, it's a game like last night where you scuffle, but Nathaniel Lowe drives in two and Narvaez drives in two. That's awesome right there. Like, that's all of a sudden you stole a series. You're in the ALDS. Boom. We're thinking about World Series. Does this team have it? Is it special? Right? That's what we're talking ourselves into if something like that happens.
It does. And let's hope that they can get another one tonight and get that magic number down to a point where it almost feels like a certainty. Side note, that hit by Narvaez, that double was nice.
It was.
That was a sweet, sweet stroke.
Just kind of kept going.
Yeah, it did. Like, very easy swing, too. Like, that. Does it look, is it me, or does it look like he hasn't been fazed by any of the ups and downs this season? Does he look like people that sort of have it? Like, he seems like a very even-keeled dude.
I don't think he's been fazed. I think he's gotten worn down. I think if you were going to tell me the people that have fatigued, Trevor Story's on the list, Giolito's on the list, Chapman's a little bit on the list, Narvaez is a little bit on the list. We had a texter who said, Trevor needs rest. Are you going to rest him now with the season on the line? You can't. He's up to 153 games played, I think it is. He's going to get to 157. I agree he probably needs a rest, but you can't give him a rest. It's a little like Ramondre Stevenson. You need him. You need Ramondre Stevenson. You don't have another option, and you can't really afford to rest Trevor Story right now with how important he is to this baseball team, even if you have to deal with a couple throwing errors mixed in. So Red Sox win 4-1. We can breathe a little easier. 0-6 not on the table. Now, if I can just get one more win, I'll have my over for the season at 86.5, and all will be right in the baseball world. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we are joined by the manager, Alex Cora, Five games to go. How's he feeling about his baseball team in that game last night? We'll ask the manager up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, Mr. Negativity, has what's trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Just a realistic sports fan here to tell you what's trending now on WEEI. The Red Sox won the first game in Toronto against the Blue Jays last night. The final score was 4-1. Justin Wilson picked up the win in relief. Aroldis Chapman recorded his 32nd save. Nathaniel Lowe and Carlos Narvaez picked up two RBIs apiece. Game 2 of that series is tonight. First pitch at 7:07. Garrett Crochet will start opposite Max Scherzer. And you can listen to tonight's game on WEEI FM 93. And across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcanis tonight at 6:07, and Will Fleming and Mike Monaco have the call of the game. New within the hour from ESPN's Jeff Passan, the Nationals are finalizing a deal to name Paul Toboni their new head of baseball operations. Toboni, 35, rose rapidly to become assistant GM of the Red Sox and is widely regarded as one of the best young executives in Major League Baseball. The Patriots return to the practice field this afternoon at 2 p.m. New England host the Carolina Panthers on Sunday afternoon. Kickoff is at 1 p.m. Both teams are 1-2 on the season. Some practice squad movement for the Pats. Defensive back Tyron Herring has been signed. He entered the NFL as an undrafted free agent out of Dartmouth in Delaware back in May. Defensive end Corey Ballantyne has been released. And the Browns signed tackle Thayer Munford Jr. off of New England's practice squad, replacing injured tackle DeJuan Jones. From around the league, the Texans released safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson after reports that the player had struggled to pick up Coach D'Amico Ryan's defensive scheme this season. And the Jets acquired cornerback Jarvis Brownlee Jr. and a 2026 seventh-round pick in exchange for a 2026 sixth-round choice. And finally, the Bruins came back from down 4-1 after two periods to beat the Rangers 5-4 in overtime in their second preseason contest. Nikita Zadorov scored the game-winning goal. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Red Sox manager Alex Cora joins the afternoon crew, and that is next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons on a tremendous day after a big Red Sox 4-1 win over the Toronto Blue Jays to kick off this critical six-game stretch. And as we said, joining us on the phone lines now is the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora, who is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Alex, how are we doing this week?
Doing good. How are you guys?
We're good. Right. We're better after watching that game last night. There was some, there was some angst in Red Sox Nation heading into these six games. How did you think your team responded to game one of what is clearly, essentially, playoff baseball?
I mean, so far so good on the road trip, right? We went to Tampa, took 2 out of 3, put ourselves in a position to win this series. Winning the game yesterday, last night, and, we just got to stay the course. You know, we understand where we at, understand how all of a sudden, things have changed around us, right? But one thing for sure, the number one goal is to take care of your business, right? And then you look around and you know what you have to do the next day, and that's where we at.
Alex, you really managed last night like it was a playoff game, pulling Giolito 4 2/3. You get 4 1/3 from the bullpen, scoreless once again, which was huge to say the least. Is it safe to say you're going to have to treat every game like a playoff game until and if you possibly clinch a postseason berth?
I mean, we need our starters to go deep into the game, right? It's six games in a row, and it's not easy, right? And some guys are feeling it back there, but they understand that it's go time, right? And other guys have to do the job. It cannot only be Whitlock, Chappie, and Wilson, right? The other guys have to step up, and they know it. So we'll keep doing what we're doing, mix and match. You know, we got the big boy going tonight, so hopefully he can go deep into the game, and we can do our thing offensively and win the game and see where we at tomorrow.
One of the things we keep talking about at this point with five games to go is fatigue. And without getting into specific guys at first, over the 162 and where we are now, how big a factor is fatigue for baseball teams?
Physically everybody feels it, right? But I think mentally, in the position we're in, I think we pass that, right? You get locked in, you know that if you do the job the next few games, you know, you're going to be playing October baseball. That was the number one goal going into spring training. So, now just show up, take care of your body, you know, whatever you need to do to be on top that night. You know, if it's rest, no BP, no ground balls, whatever it is, you know, whatever it takes to be on point at 7:05, do it. And then mentally, I think, like I said, you know, every team that is in this position, they're locked in.
I don't know if you're losing sleep because of these games or if you're sleeping better because they're so exhausting, but last night's game was a real white-knuckle affair, and I'm just curious. That bounce over in the second inning, Springer's ground ball that bounces over third and then gets called a foul ball, was that one of the luckiest bounces you've had in a while?
Well, we didn't have one in Tampa. Massa hit one over the bag, and it was called a foul, so it evens out, right?
There you go.
Speaking of controversial calls, a quick left-hand turn here from your baseball team, but it was announced yesterday, reported that robot umps, quote-unquote, ABS, is going to be a thing for Major League Baseball next year. Do you embrace that? Is that a good thing for baseball?
I believe so. The one thing about us in spring training, we only played like five or six games with the system because we don't have it. At JetBlue, Minnesota doesn't have it either. So most of the teams in the southwest area of Florida, you know, that train there don't have it. So we didn't have the experience that, you know, Detroit and the Phillies and the Yankees, you know, that are kind of like up north in Florida, central Florida, they have the system. You know, just watching from afar, it works. Obviously, we have to learn more about it. You know, because you know, it's game-changing calls, and who are you going to trust, right? Who are you going to trust to challenge the system? There's a lot of guys around the league that they believe that they know the strike zone, and they complain about it. And when they look at the iPad, it's a strike. So we'll pick and choose. You know, who's going to be able to do that, and we'll go from there.
Should you be able to continue playing baseball in the month that shall not be named? Would giving Giolito a rest or not starting him be a consideration should by week's end you clinch a postseason berth?
Yeah, that's a goal. I think, you know, if we're in, you know, we'll see what we do over the weekend. You know, that's part of, you know, the equation going into October. But first things first, you know, just try to win the series here tonight and then see where we at tomorrow and just keep pushing. But I think a breather will be good for a lot of guys.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora here with us on WEEI Afternoons. We've talked about the great season that Trevor Story has had, really in all phases of the game. He's been scuffling a little bit, though, lately defensively, some throwing errors. Is that a fatigue issue? Sort of, is that a concern for you? What's going on there?
No, it's not a concern, but his timing has been off in some of them, so it's something that he keeps working on it, and he'll get it right, right? That's part of the season. You're going to go through hitting slumps and defensive slumps, and right now the throwing has been kind of like an issue the last 10 days, and hopefully we can fix it.
So one of the bats that is starting to heat up at the right time, and hopefully there are some more to follow with it, is Yoshida. Masataka is having a nice little run over the last week plus. What's behind him catching fire now and feeling good?
We haven't talked about his surgery, right? It was a major surgery in the off season, and it takes a while, you know, and although he was swinging the bat well in spring training, he kind of like had a setback right after that, and we have to, you know, slow down his process, obviously, with the situation of DH and where to play. You know, we had to slow it down too. You know, the shoulder wasn't responding the way he wanted, the way the training staff wanted, and we were very patient. I think at bats have put him in a better spot timing wise. And if you think about it, you know, when we talk about experience, you know, you guys can, it's Trevor, Alex, and nobody else, right, with in the playoffs, right? And but Masa, you know, in Japan, he was part of championship teams. He's an experienced one. He's been in pressure situations, not only over there, but also in the WBC. So as a veteran player, that I understand that he doesn't have too much experience in the in MLB, but he understands what it takes, and he's doing an amazing job.
Speaking of a guy with experience, you bring up Alex Bregman there. It sounds like he played a key role in sort of putting together a team gathering with the off day the other day. How important was that? What was that like? What was that all about? What was the message there?
No, it was players only. I had coaches only, and he had players only. So they got together, and they had a good time. Just having everybody in the same room, you know, away from the ballpark is always important. And both groups, we had a great time. You know, it's something that we always, you know, look forward to it, you know, an off day and hang out and watch some football and talk about something else other, you know, than baseball. And it's always a good time.
Is it nice to have a players-only meeting that's leading into potentially the postseason? Everybody in Miami freaked out because the Dolphins had a players-only meeting about Mike McDaniel in, like, week two. Usually those are bad, but this was a good players-only meeting?
I hope so, you know. yeah, but it's just, I hope so, you know. But it's a good group, you know. And, you know, one of the things that they've done an outstanding job kind of like staying the course, you know. Like somebody asked me about Sunday in Tampa, and that was kind of like it was an odd time, starting time, right, because he wasn't on national TV. But because of the Buccaneers, they had to push the game back. So during the day, it wasn't – there was no baseball on TV. It was all football. So that's what, you know, players do. They stick to their routines, and they watch football on Sundays to see how their players are doing and all that. So so far, so good. You know, they've been really good about this whole thing.
Just a couple games back in for him. Gets a hit last night. Big contribution. How's Abreu feeling? Really could use one of his signature hot streaks right around now or sometime soon.
Yeah. Feeling good. I mean, timing-wise, of course, he has to get there. But, you know, yesterday you saw him defensively. You know, he's a game changer. He feels good about playing the right field. He made a great play coming in late in the game. So, you know, happy to have him. And we'll keep hitting him down in the order, just not to put pressure on him. Although, as you know, the game will get there probably. You know, base loaded one out and it's wheelie up. So, you know, that's the nature of baseball. You cannot hide guys, but, you know, he'll keep getting his timing down and hopefully he can get hot.
Last week at Fenway, you broke the news to us that you were going to shake up the lineups, flip-flop Bregman and Story a week later. How do you feel about that decision, how it's played out?
Feel really good. Both are doing an amazing job. Alex is kind of like back to his old self, taking pitches, taking his walks. So, you know, I like where we at.
All right, time for my weekly question. How's Roman Anthony doing? Is he up to 35 minutes on the treadmill? Is he walking at the mall?
A little bit of progress, feeling better, but not much on the table for him. You know, just treatment and doing his cardio, the assault bike, which is, you know, sometimes a challenge, you know, in those situations. But nothing more to his progression.
Nathaniel Lowe had a couple RBIs last night. I guess we're now calling him Lowe Vaughn. What are your thoughts of that?
Are they really?
Yes.
I just found out.
Yeah, that's out there, Lowe Vaughn.
Hopefully he can hit like Mo. Mo was a good hitter, hit the ball out of the ballpark. You know, good game by him yesterday. You know, he had a tough one in Tampa. Yesterday he hits the ball the other way. He gets a breaking ball, hits it hard in the hole, makes a nice place at first. And, you know, this guy, we talk about experience, you know. He has a World Series ring, so he understands what it takes to win games in late September and October.
Alex, are you surprised to see – tonight on the Hill opposing you guys. You've got Crochet, like you said, the big guys out there. Hopefully he can go seven strong. But opposing him is Max Scherzer. Are you surprised to still see him on the bump for Toronto?
I know. That's something we talk about in the off season, and we actually talk about it, on opening day during the show. You know, like, they have good pitching. They got veteran guys that know how to pitch, and Max is one of them. And we just got to be ready. He comes from a tough one against Kansas City. Obviously, he's going to try to make adjustments. We just got to be ready.
In terms of the bullpen, we all know what Whitlock and Chapman can do. We see Slayton. But the other roles, are those going to be a work in progress through the next 5 days and right into the postseason? Or do you feel like you're going to have a grasp on those middle innings before we get to the end of the year?
First things first, let's get there, and then we'll see how we're going to deploy what the roster is going to be and how we're going to deploy the pitchers, you know. So there's certain guys that are throwing the ball well. You know, Zach is doing a good job. Weiser, it seems like he has bounced back. Murph, he had a tough one in Tampa, but before that he was really good. So we'll keep working, mix and matching, try to win as many games as possible before Sunday, and then we'll see what we do.
Last one for me, Alex. So how do you manage the guys, not on the field at this time of year, but, you know, in the clubhouse, just in general, in regards to, you know, like scoreboard watching the standings, you know, do you tell them to just not pay attention to that, do their job and focus on the task at hand and run your race?
Yeah, we say that, but I'm the first one looking at the scoreboard right in front of me. So it's hard. It was actually easy in Tampa. Because they didn't have an away scoreboard, so you just play the game, right? And that was a good feeling, to be honest with you. But then we're back in a big league stadium, and it's all over the place. So try to get locked in the task in hand, you know, what's happening in between the lines and the energy into that, and then we'll see what we, you know, you take a look at the phone, and okay, that happened, let's go.
Without looking too far ahead, and even right now, I saw a comment from Craig Breslow talking about down in Florida, you have a camp of minor leaguers, some banged-up guys. Is it realistic there's some guys down there that could help you either later this week or as you go into the postseason?
Dustin May threw a live BP yesterday, two innings. I haven't had the reports about how he feels about it, but, he's progressing. I think he's kind of like the guy that is very realistic, you know, if needed, that he can contribute. Not really sure where we are with Jordan. I know he was progressing. He's down there. The other guys are position players, so we'll see what happens, you know. Hopefully we can stay healthy, but, you know, everybody's ready.
Has anyone asked you about the third catcher come October recently?
No, they haven't.
Okay, so then I won't ask you that either. I'll ask you something else that's silly. How's the fantasy team? Can we get a update after a few weeks?
Highest score of the weekend. Highest score.
Oh,
so
nice.
We got some money back.
All right, nice. It's coming together nicely. On the field, fantasy football. All right, this is our last Wednesday chat of the regular season. It's been a fun season. Hopefully we're not done. Hopefully we'll talk to you down the line, and good luck over the next five games.
Thank you, guys. We'll talk next week.
All right, thanks, Alex. That's the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora, who we'll talk to next Wednesday in the playoffs, hopefully. He didn't say that. I'm adding that. In the playoffs, we'll be talking to
editorial.
Him.
Okay.
Yeah. That was Andy Hart talking. He said, we'll talk to you next week. I said, we'll talk to you next week in the playoffs. Red Sox, there is a did you hear the background? Sounded like a light mood back there. I don't know where he was. Yeah. He got a good chuckle out of the Low Vaughn nickname that's making the rounds for Nathaniel Lowe. I think he likes his baseball team, and I think the manager is comfortable right now. Like, even the chuckle he gave about, you know, players-only meetings are usually when they're trying to get rid of the manager or the coaching staff, the chuckle he gave about that. But we'll react to some of the comments from the manager of the Boston Red Sox. 4-1. Red Sox win. 90-plus chance to make the playoffs. We'll talk about it next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
How big a factor is fatigue for baseball teams?
I mean, physically, everybody feels it, right? But I think mentally, in the position we're in, I think we pass that, right? You get locked in. You know that if you do the job the next few games, you know, you're going to be playing October baseball. That was the number one goal. Now just show up, take care of your body, whatever you need to do to be on top that night. You know, if it's rest, no BP, no ground balls, whatever it is, you know, whatever it takes to be on point at 7:05, do it. And then mentally, I think, like I said, you know, every team that is in this position, they're locked in.
Pickle juice, creatine, whatever you got to do. Get your ass out there and produce. And that's what the Red Sox did last night. That was Alex Cora here on WEEI Afternoons just moments ago. If you missed the interview, you know the deal. Go get the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, on your phone. Use the rewind feature or download WEEI Afternoons podcasts on the Audacy app, iHeart, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Fitzy, just big picture takeaway from 15 minutes with the manager. How's he feeling?
He's in a good place.
Yeah.
He knows he's got a good baseball team, even if it's probably about 60% of the baseball team that he thought he would be carrying into October all the way back in April. But he's in a good place. He didn't sound agitated. He sounded relaxed. He definitely needed that off day Monday. I'm glad he gave himself and his players one, even in the midst of a postseason chase. Like, there's no... The heightened sense of urgency comes at the right time of day. He doesn't carry it with him all throughout the day. And I think that's a very impressive trait of his.
So there were two names that were bandied about there near the end when he talked about this camp they have down in Florida that it's got the password. It's got some other guys, got some pitchers that are banged up. He mentioned Dustin May. How do we feel about Dustin May rejoining the middle of this bullpen? Or let me add the other name in there, Jordan Hicks.
Oh, no, that's okay. One of them brings the bundle of sticks. The other one brings the kerosene and the matches. No, thanks.
Yeah. And
I think I'm good with the guys they got right now. Like, I'd rather have Tolley. I'd rather have Harrison. I'd rather have Early. I like the pitching staff where it is right now. They're just too unpredictable. You could have a lights out inning, and then you could have five runs in before you get the first out.
I'd go the other way. I actually think the young guys might be unpredictable. We might see that Tolley is one thing one day, something the next. Jordan Hicks feels like he's been very consistent as a Red Sox player to me. He throws balls. He's going to hit the backstop at least once for the old, that's a bit outside kind of pitch. Mm-hmm. Like, Jordan Hicks, I am concerned because there's a famous story / quote from back in the day about Joe Kelly and Dave Dombrowski wasn't going to have him on the roster, and Alex Cora told him something to the effect, like, you don't keep 100 in the closet during the postseason. Like, he wanted that velocity in the bullpen, and it worked out. Okay, it worked out once. Let's not test that again, because I think Jordan Hicks is doing all the guys I just told you early in the show, Fitzy, that I'm excited about, that might step up, that could become October cult heroes, even though they're not big names. I feel like Jordan Hicks is the opposite. It's like Nathaniel Lowe could hit a 3-run home run to put the Red Sox up 5-2, and you're like, oh my God, they're going to win this series. They're bringing in Jordan Hicks. Oh, no, they're bringing in Jordan Hicks. Like, he could be the antidote to the success of the postseason.
Correct. You know, Nathaniel Lowe could become 2025 Steve Pierce over at first base, like a temporary hero who you don't have to re-sign to a lucrative extension by any stretch. Like,
nope.
Ride it out, have some fun. But Jordan Hicks would, I mean, he makes Craig Kimbrell look like Troy Percival. Like just, you don't know where it's going at any time. Fans would lose their minds at, like, just because he can hit 100 doesn't mean you want to bring him back. No, stick with the girls you done got right now at the dance.
Yeah, not all velo is good velo, I would say. Yes, Dan Ball.
I'd like Jordan Hicks to have the same kind of quote-unquote setback that Masataka Yoshida had. Even when he's quote-unquote hurt and then had a quote-unquote setback, which is totally true. Hicks
that just
can have
came
that
out
same.
Of nowhere. That just came out of nowhere. Now I'm supposed to believe he had a setback. All we're doing is talking setbacks. Did Christian Gonzalez have a setback? Did he not have a setback? Did Yoshida have a setback? Is that why he kind of stunk? But now all of a sudden he's caught up to timing and he's good to go. And also he's an experienced postseason player from... I don't even know if you can call it across the pond, around the globe, the other side of the globe for Yoshida. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was an interesting answer. But, you know, Alex is good. Sometimes he has some talking points. I feel like they get a little ahead of themselves, Dan.
Yeah,
no, I appreciate it. He kind of, I said out loud in here, he kind of towed the company line on that one, and I appreciate it. He just let that out there, and we'll let bygones be bygones.
All right, we appreciate the manager joining us every Wednesday and promising to join us next Wednesday. So we look forward to talking to him in the midst of the postseason. The Boston Red Sox get a win last night, 4-1, and everybody's feeling better about baseball these days. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's 3 o'clock. That means our buddy Ted Johnson's joining us. Three-point stance on the horizon. Also on the horizon, 3:45, we'll talk to Adam Schefter. See what he has to say about Tom Brady's latest newsletter, in which he basically said fake news to the rest of the world about his conflicts of interest. And 4:30 in studio, NHL legend, Penguins legend, former Boston Bruin, local hockey guy, Kevin Stevens and his sister will join us for a half hour here in studio for what should be a very interesting conversation. That's all up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.